Turning first to the Old Testament, to the book of Genesis, chapter 28. Genesis, the 28th chapter, finding verse 10. There the Bible says, Jacob left Beersheba and went toward Haran, and he came to a certain place and stayed there that night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, there was a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you and to your offspring. Your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in you and your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Behold, I am with you, and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, How awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God. And this is the gate of heaven. And turning to the Gospel of John, the first chapter, John 1. Verse 43, this Lord's Day. John 1, beginning our reading at verse 43 through the end of the chapter. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, Follow me. Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nathanael said to him, Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Philip said to him, Come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said to him, Behold, an Israelite indeed in whom there is no deceit. Nathanael said to him, How do you know me? Jesus answered him, Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Nathanael answered him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Jesus answered him, Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these. And he said to him, Truly, truly I say to you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Beloved of God, people don't all come to Christ in the same way. This is evident from both Scripture and our own experience. Some surrender their hearts to Christ as little children, while others refuse to believe, refuse to surrender until they are in their adult years. Some believe with very little questioning, while others seem to have a multitude of questions at every turn. Still, saving faith is saving faith, and all saving faith is a gift of God's redeeming grace, lest any should boast. Our text this morning bears this out, just such differences both in the personality of individuals and in God's own personal dealings with different people. Our text says, the next day Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." And how our hearts thrill within us to hear the quickening voice of the Almighty Savior aimed purposefully and personally at an individual chosen for eternal life. What a miracle of saving grace it is to hear the voice of the Son of God calling your name. Jesus himself explains what goes on here in John 10, a few chapters further in this gospel, when Christ himself says, "I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. He goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." Philip, follow me. We must also not forget the quickening power of the Holy Spirit operating in a situation like this, that Holy Spirit accompanies our Lord's words, "Follow me." Here we witness the call of a sovereign God. This is the God that we all have to do with. This is our God. This is the voice of our God. This is the one who calls you and me too. This is the God, the saving God, who deals with us. This account of Jesus calling Philip directly is so interesting in its contrast because of the way it differs from the others mentioned in the immediate context before. Thinking on last Sunday, recall Andrew was moved by the preaching of the testimony of John the Baptist, who cried out, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Simon Peter was drawn by the sincere witness of his brother Andrew. But here, Philip is called directly by Christ the Savior himself. You see, each one's path to Christ is different, but they all lead inevitably to the same Savior. Though each one's path is different, they all lead to the one door, to the one gate of the sheepfold, Jesus Christ. And so, as different as we all are, as unique as every life story is, all are eventually drawn by the one Spirit to the one Savior, to be washed in one blood, to serve one Master, to believe one truth, to be led by one rule, to be citizens of one kingdom. Praise God. We should therefore be careful of two errors to which we're prone. First, that we think that we must have, that is, we ourselves think that we must have the very same conversion experience that others have had. In other words, that we allow the testimony of another make us feel inferior or embarrassed about our own testimony. That would be a mistake. That is error number one. God has his own unique way of dealing with you and with each one of us. The second error is actually the opposite of the first. Namely, that we think others should have exactly the same experience with the Savior that we have had. In other words, that we think or that we require others to have exactly the same experience with Christ that we have had. And then that we go on to belittle or deny even another person's experience of saving grace because it doesn't exactly match our own. You see here on the basis of this passage why that would be a mistake. Now this is important for parents to consider regarding their own children. Every child is different in their character and their experience with Christ. This is important for teachers in schools to remember concerning their students. This is important for elders and preachers to remember concerning members of Christ's congregation. And when it comes to events like profession of faith and so on. In fact, this error, which we tend toward in some ways, can become typical of whole churches. You know, you heard of second blessing churches or of certain traditions that require, you know, that you come up with a certain testimony of what happened to you. No, we should rather come to expect that God works with people individually. One-on-one, each according to their nature, each according to their questions, each according to their own character. Now, what may very well be, considering the men in this first chapter of John, it may very well be, as we think on it theologically, it may very well be that the hearts of all these men were regenerate by the Holy Spirit before the event of their calling, before these very events recorded here ever actually occurred. Indeed, without regeneration first, they could not have followed Christ. Without regeneration first, we cannot, we will not believe. So dependent are we on the saving work of the sovereign God. It's precisely this that explains why Philip up and followed Jesus without question. It also explains what Philip says to his friend Nathanael when he says, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." These men were familiar with the Scriptures. They grew up in Hebrew homes. They grew up in synagogue. They grew up knowing the prophecies concerning the Messiah. And where the Holy Spirit is at work, they believed in Jesus even before they met Him. For they believed in the promised Savior. No, beloved, people don't all come to Christ in the same way. This is evident from both our Scriptures and our own experience. The exact time of regeneration is not the important thing. The important thing concerning regeneration is the evidence of it. The evidence of regeneration. Is it there? You say, what is the evidence of regeneration? Well, our catechism lists it for us. It is sorrow for sin. It is belief in the Savior. And it is a willingness to live your life in the service of God. We say sin, salvation, service. This is what we are to look for in each other. This is what we are to look for in the sincere Christian. And these should be the very things that concern us. And when we see these things in others and ourselves, these are the very things in which our hearts should rejoice in God our Savior. Our text includes this reference to Christ described in sacred Scripture. As we have said, these men here were raised as Hebrews, with the knowledge of the sacred Scriptures read in their homes and in their synagogues. Therefore, when Philip is explaining to Nathanael who exactly it is whom they have found, he can think of no better way of describing Jesus than this. We have found Him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote. Yes, Christ Jesus Himself is the sum total, and He is the spiritual substance. We must say Jesus is the subject of the entire Old Testament. The very earliest promises of God all point to Jesus Christ from the time of Adam and Eve. Jesus is the promised one to bruise the serpent's head. Genesis 3:15. He walked with Enoch. Genesis 5:24. Jesus is represented by the ark of Noah's day, which all must enter who would live, but only those whom God did call went in. Genesis 7. What about Melchizedek, king and priest of Salem? Genesis 14:17. Yes, our Bibles tell us concerning Jesus, you are a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. Hebrews 7:17. Do we see our Jesus numbered among the three visitors to Abram's tent in Genesis 18, verse 2? Surely, Jesus is the one represented by the ram caught in the thicket on Mount Moriah, put there by God as a sacrificial substitute for Isaac in Genesis 22, 13 and following. What about the ladder in Jacob's dream, which we read of this morning in Genesis 28? The ladder set up on the earth whose top reached to heaven, upon which the angels of God were ascending and descending. Do you see that God sent His Son, set Him upon the earth, that His work reaches to heaven, crucified in this world, risen again, ascended on high? Do you see this ladder reaching from earth to heaven, upon whom the ministry of angels ascends and descends? Do we with Jacob still ask the name of the one who wrestled with him at the ford of the Jabbok River? We should know His name by now, should we not? You see, every sacrifice appointed by God under the administration of Moses, and every sacrifice repeated throughout the centuries of worship at both tabernacle and temple, all point to Jesus. Every high priest was a type of Christ. Every part of the tabernacle, a shadow revealing some aspect of Jesus' redemptive work. Every judge and deliverer of Israel was a figure of the one sent to deliver His people from their sins. Jesus is the prophet, like unto Moses, whom the Lord our God promised to send. Jesus is the king of the royal line of David, who is David's Lord as well as David's son. The prophet Isaiah told us He would be born of a virgin and He would suffer as a lamb before its shears is silent. Jeremiah describes Him as the righteous branch. He is the true shepherd of Israel, foreseen by Ezekiel. He is the messenger of the covenant promised by the prophet Malachi. Daniel calls Him the anointed who was cut off, though not for His own sins. All this refers to one and only one. All this refers to one and the same person, Jesus Christ. And how true it is, this testimony of Philip, how true it is what he says to Nathanael. We have found Him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Indeed, the Spirit of Christ was in all the Old Testament writers testifying concerning the Christ, as the Bible explains to us in 1 Peter 1:10 through 11. I ask you this morning, have you seen Jesus Christ throughout the Old Testament? Then give praise to God, for that's God's work in you. That's the Holy Spirit in you, teaching you, leading you into the way of all truth. If you haven't seen Jesus, If you find it difficult to see Him in the Old Testament, then pray to God that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. Recall how Jesus chided the unbelievers who were listening to Him. These He addressed directly, saying, "The Father who sent Me has Himself borne witness about Me. His voice you have never heard, His form you have never seen, and you do not have His word abiding in you, for you do not believe the One whom He has sent. You search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And it is they that bear witness about Me." Jesus said, John 5, verses 37 and following. Well, beloved, well might we pray that the veil might be taken away as we read the Old Testament Scriptures, and that with the help of the Holy Spirit, we may then rejoice all the more as we behold the Christ of God in the New Testament. Well, this all leads up to this amazing discourse between Jesus and Nathanael. You see, when Nathanael heard Philip describe the one they had found as Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph, Nathanael retorts with cynicism, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Now, Nazareth had the reputation of being the place where people went when they wanted to get away because they had something to run away from. It was the perimeter of the country. It was a place of questionable reputations. "Can anything good come out of that northern town, which is so far north, it is actually more a part of the Galilee of the Gentiles than it is a part of the Hebrew nation?" Well, let's remember that our Lord spent 30 years of His life in this very town that had such a low reputation with the rest of the country. You see how our Lord Jesus was willing to become the least when He dwelt among us. "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip didn't argue with Nathanael. That's noteworthy. He didn't argue with the person he was witnessing to. Sometimes you and I ought to be a little more careful not to argue with people that were witnessing to, whatever that witness may be about. No, Philip very wisely says, "Come and see. Come and see. Come and see for yourself." Philip didn't try to reason or argue to persuade him. All he said, "Come and see." How true it is that you cannot know the worth of Christ by just hearing about it from another. Each one must see for himself. Now, Nathanael must have taken Philip's advice, for the very next verse says, Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward Him. You see, it's as though the words were just out of Philip's mouth, and Nathanael says, "Okay, I will go and see." And Jesus sees Nathanael coming toward Him and says of him, "Behold an Israelite indeed in whom there is no deceit." You know, Jesus being God knows the hearts of men. He saw that Nathanael really did want to come and see for himself. And this is high praise indeed coming from the Savior. It is a tribute to the sincerity of his heart in believing God, taking God at His word, being a student of the Scriptures, being, as we said, likely already regenerate by the Holy Spirit. That is, he's already a believer in the Messiah. Furthermore, it seems by comparison to all those whom Christ met in whose hearts there was deceit, that Nathanael had a heart that was not corrupted by all the outward show of formal religion, by all the pomp and circumstance that so delighted the hearts of the Sadducees and Pharisees, No, we must say, comparing Scripture with Scripture, that Nathanael, in a very worldly day and age, was more like the godly Simeon and Anna, who piously and privately maintained a personal faith in God. And in spite of all the religious baloney that was going on, believed in God's promised Messiah and did so from the heart, without deceit, without guile. Psalm 32, which we sang this morning, may have very well been in the mind of the Word made flesh when he says this of Nathanael. Well, Nathanael hears this, of course, and says to Jesus, "How do you know me? I mean, you and I haven't met." As far as Nathanael is concerned, Jesus is a complete stranger. Jesus answered him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Now, these words of Jesus remind us of Proverbs, the 15th chapter, verse 3, where the Bible says, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good." These eyes of the Lord are Jesus' eyes. In telling Nathanael that he saw him under the fig tree, Jesus is informing him, isn't he? Jesus is telling him that he is God. Now, the Bible does not tell us when it was or what it was that Nathanael was doing under the fig tree. That we are not told anywhere, but whatever it was of such a profound nature that it left a vivid memory in Nathanael's mind, so that when Jesus references it now, he's like, "Wow." Whatever it was, this one statement of Jesus so totally breaks down all of Nathanael's resistance, and so thoroughly convinces him that Jesus is God, that he exclaims, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel." You see the results of the Holy Spirit's work through the years, giving life to Nathanael's heart and soul. This is the one Nathanael had been longing for, looking for, based on the authority of God's holy word. This is the sovereign saving work of God by His Holy Spirit. Jesus answers him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? Is this why? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." What a truly remarkable personal exchange this is between the Savior, between the great shepherd and one of His sheep. This is what we must call a holy discourse regarding things, beloved, that this world knows nothing about, but of which we should know. Compare what Jesus says here with the words of Scripture found in Genesis 28:12, where Jacob dreamed, "And behold, there was a ladder set up in the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it." Can you say now who that ladder represents? God not only sees all, God in Jesus undertakes all. God provides the ladder. God provided the mediator between earth and heaven. The God who knows us completely gives His own the ability to behold the mediator, the ladder between God and man. The God-man Christ Jesus, is not our Lord Jesus saying, "Greater than the wonder of God seeing you, Nathanael, is that which God gives you to see Him?" Greater than the wonder of God seeing us is that which God gives us to see, namely Jesus. Christ Jesus lifted up upon the cross of Calvary. Christ Jesus risen from the dead. Christ Jesus ascended and reigning on high at God's right hand. Christ Jesus interceding for us with the Father. Christ Jesus appearing again upon the clouds of heaven. This whole ministry of Christ, attended by angels, earth and heaven joined as one by the redeeming work of the divine mediator, the ladder between God and man. How truly great are the things that God, by His grace and Holy Spirit, has enabled us to see in Jesus. How wonderfully God reveals the Savior and His saving work to the elect children of men. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God in heaven, that the name of Christ may be glorified, that we may see Him, Jesus Christ, the mediator, the ladder that You, O God, have given in Your covenant faithfulness between earth and heaven. Lord, we thank You for dealing with people individually. We pray, Lord, that we may not try to squeeze others into our experience, but Lord, that we may pray that You, O God, will confront them on their own road, in Your own way, to lead them to the one Savior of all. Lord, we thank You for lifting up our hearts in Christ, for giving us, Lord, such a wonderful glimpse of Jesus again this day. Lord, may our hearts truly be blessed. May our souls be strengthened to eternal life. And may we be more equipped in our witness and say to others, come and see. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.